Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, and this is the SmackDown post-show edition of the PW Torch Livecast on Tuesday, February 7th, 2017. And we welcome you to the show, and we're going to take calls. 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345 is the number to call if you want to talk about tonight's episode of SmackDown. The phone lines are filling up, which is great. And we are now just a few days away from Elimination Chamber. And tonight's episode built that up, added a match, Randy Orton versus Luke Harper. Luke Harper at the end of SmackDown tonight, officially, finally turning, apparently, on Bray Wyatt. You never know. Maybe Bray will get a hold of his mind once again, or Harper will regret doing the spinning clothesline and taking Bray out when Bray told him to get out of the ring at the end of the Orton-Cena main event. But it was a good setup for an added match at Elimination Chamber. We had three women's matches, all get hype. Nikki Bella and Natalya, Naomi and Alexa Bliss, and Becky Lynch and Mickie James. I can't remember if there's ever been an episode of WWE television that hyped three separate women's singles matches for an upcoming pay-per-view. I mean, I doubt that's ever happened. I mean, maybe, but I doubt it. And then we had Elimination Chamber hype with four of the wrestlers early on in a four-way promo that led to a fatal four-way match, which led to Baron Corbin scoring a pin on AJ Styles in the midst of the chaos. As I wrote in my report on pwtorch.com, which I did live throughout SmackDown tonight, I don't really think that people should be too worried about AJ losing. I mean, it's never great when they see you as sacrificial. But I mean, Randy Orton won the Royal Rumble and he just jobbed to John Cena at the end of the show tonight. I mean, that doesn't mean they're burying Randy. It's just the way that it is now, where they've got a lot of TV and some people have to lose sometimes, including top stars facing other top stars. I see the AJ loss as a boost to Baron Corbin and perhaps, and I'm extrapolating a little bit here, maybe a talking point for later for Baron Corbin as a heel after AJ Styles turns babyface. AJ is the bigger established star. Corbin can now say, I got a pinfall victory over you. That's down the line when AJ, it turns babyface. Now, could that down the line be as soon as WrestleMania? I mean, there's a lot of talk of Shane McMahon against AJ Styles. I've never liked that idea. But in some ways, it might seem like a bigger match and a bigger WrestleMania moment for AJ Styles than fighting Baron Corbin. So I haven't really digested whether I think that should even be considered an option or a step up. But Baron's actually a wrestler. So that's a good thing. So maybe it sets that up. So some interesting things on SmackDown tonight. And I look forward to hearing what you thought of tonight's show and what stood out to you as we look ahead to a pretty loaded Sunday pay-per-view, a pretty loaded Sunday pay-per-view for the SmackDown brand. So let's go into calls. I'm hosting solo, so more time for callers. And why don't we begin with Damian from St. Louis on today's program. Damian, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Wade. I just got through watching SmackDown, the huge Orton Cena match.
Yeah.
For the umpteenth time, I might add. I actually thought it was a decent match, but obviously with them facing off so many times, it kind of loses its shine over time. I do want to discuss, how do you think, do you really actually think that Cena might actually go into WrestleMania being the WWE champion? Or do you feel like the odds are just too great? Maybe they want to get that title off of Cena and then have him win it back at WrestleMania so he can beat Ric Flair's record. And also, the whole Luke Harper-Randy Orton match, I'm not really all that excited about it. But I think Luke Harper could work pretty well as a babyface. He hasn't really had a chance to really show that in the past. But I guess now that he's broken away from the Wyatts, it might be an opportunity to see where he stands on his own. I want to get your thoughts about that.
But where who goes on their own?
I'm sorry. I'm talking about Luke Harper being a
babyface. Yeah, okay, good. Yep. Okay, so first things first. John Cena has a chance to lose. Does John Cena have a chance to lose the title before WrestleMania so that he has a chance to break the record at Mania? I don't know how they get there. I'm trying to think it out loud because Randy Orton earned the title shot at the Rumble, and so Cena would lose the title at the Chamber, but then somehow have to get back in the title match. So I don't think that it's logistically possible if it's a one-on-one match. What we have talked about here on the show is the possibility of a four-way, or maybe a three-way, but perhaps a four-way match. Maybe we end up with a controversy at the end of the Elimination Chamber. Somehow something comes out of that storyline-wise justifies doing Orton, Cena, Styles, and Miz, or you know, something to that effect. I mean, we can pick out a various combination of wrestlers. There's so many. The thing about this year's WrestleMania, with two different pay-per-views coming two weeks and 4 weeks after the Rumble, there's a lot of moving parts, and I like that because I think we've run into issues in the past where between the Rumble and WrestleMania, you think it's going to be exciting, but you know what the matches are, and they spend, you know, 7 to 9 weeks, roughly, maybe 10 weeks, just promoting the same matches over and over again, and it can get repetitive. So right now we do have a number of variations on what that are at least plausible and worth entertaining the thought of happening before we get to Mania. So, but Damian, let me throw it back to you. Under what scenario would Cena lose the title, but then set himself up then to be a challenger? Would he take? You'd almost have to think Randy Orton would have to get injured at that point, or he'd have to regain the title in a title match over whoever wins the Rumble. I mean, whoever wins Elimination Chamber on Sunday. And I just don't see them giving that match away on SmackDown between the Elimination Chamber and Mania.
Well, I think it goes like this. You already had Cena Orton here tonight, so I wouldn't think that you would want to do it again at WrestleMania, despite JBL incessantly saying this could be a WrestleMania preview. Anywho, I think Cena could end up losing it to Bray Wyatt, and then perhaps he can find himself, whether it be at the behest of SmackDown GM Daniel Bryan or whoever else, just find a way to wiggle the match. So if it does break down, things do break down between Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, then Cena finds himself being in a three-way or a triple threat, and then either Orton can get the championship or Cena will get the title again. But I know it's not going to stay on Bray Wyatt. So it has to be
right.
That scenario playing out. That's what I believe.
Yeah, and so you absolutely. And when you look at the four wrestlers most likely to be in a fatal four-way, just to go back to my example, I think you can grab any four and go, well, I could see them maybe making that work. But the thought right now, the rumor right now is Cena and Nikki, who will be on Talking Smack in a bit, getting involved in an angle with Miz and Maryse that coming out of the Elimination Chamber. Now, I don't know if this isn't a rumor that just didn't start as an idea or something that was considered and gained steam and isn't going to happen, or if it's something more legit that is planned. And I kind of like it that way. I mean, all we have to do is wait till Sunday to see what happens. We don't need to know ahead of time. There's no benefit to spoilers in that regard. But if that happens, then you're looking at AJ, Orton, Bray, and a fourth wrestler who would make the most sense to be the fourth wrestler in that scenario. looking at what they did early on, I guess Dean Ambrose back in the title mix, or maybe because Corbin scored the win over AJ, you could imagine him being in there. So I'm not for Fatal 4-Way, but with two different brands and one WrestleMania show, a cruiserweight division, two tag divisions, two women's divisions, two singles secondary titles, and two world titles, they might have to do more multi-person matches than they normally prefer at a WrestleMania, even with an Andre the Giant Battle Royal, even with potentially a ladder match. It's a scenario that could play itself out. I don't know. I mean, I think perhaps unfortunately most likely is Bray wins the Elimination Chamber and takes on Randy Orton. And then Luke Harper, I mean, I'm interested to see where he goes. I thought the vignette tonight wasn't particularly well written. I mean, Luke went immediately from saying, they say a man with nothing to lose is when he's at his most dangerous. So what about a man who never had anything? And that's fine. But the next sentence makes no sense, because then he says, Randy, you took away my family. Well, he just got done saying he never had anything. And now he's saying he had something that he valued, his family. And I'm not trying to parse words or be picky, but I mean, he said, I've never had anything to lose. That makes me dangerous. But now I'm mad because you took something away from me that I had. It's just contradictory. I didn't think the writing was good. I didn't think Luke came across as, it wasn't like a shining moment where you're like, whoa, this guy can talk. And I was let down by that. I'd like to see him do better there. So, I mean, I'm not sure how big of a single star Luke Harper can be. I'm interested in seeing where it goes and how he does. And he's going to get a chance to have a relatively big time one-on-one match with Randy Orton at the Elimination Chamber on Sunday. So that'll be a test. I hope Randy brings it. I thought tonight's main event was sort of flat, too familiar. We've seen Orton and Cena many, many times. I don't think this match made us want to see them again. It was fine. It was professional. It was crisp. We got the obligatory mid-match chin lock from Randy Orton that we always get, followed by him calling a spot, which turned out to be the low kick, and then, you know, amping it up a little bit before they went to the break. I mean, we saw the usual stuff. I thought the finishing sequence had good energy and flowed nicely, but it also made me realize that match was just there to fill 10 minutes until they got to the 2-minute finishing sequence. They talked about it as a big deal all week and hyped it as a big deal, even though we didn't hear from Cena or Orton until they came out for the match tonight. But it really was just a placeholder to draw a rating and to set up the angle at the end. So anyway, Damon, I hope I addressed your question. Certainly you can follow up if you want.
No. You have a valid point. At the end of the day, I didn't necessarily care for this match. It was just Cena Orton again. But like you said, it was just something to get to where they really wanted to go. And I guess that's cool in that aspect. And I haven't just got to see the rest of SmackDown yet because I've just gotten home not too long ago. So I'll let the other callers answer the other questions about the other show. That's all I have. Thanks, Wade.
Excellent.
You have a good night.
Yep, you too, Damian. Thanks. Appreciate the call. All right, we're going to go to our first break here. When we come back, more calls. 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Big UFC card coming up this weekend. Not the biggest of the year, but a big one. We got a new women's championship, a new division in the main event. A new championship being decided with Holly Holm, who broke Ronda Rousey. That's the phrasing being used now. She's headlining, trying to win her second title in a second weight division in UFC. We had some good trivia over at MMAtorch.com this week about Holly Holm's past and how this is kind of paralleling and replicating her past prior to UFC. And then Anderson Silva, back in action, one of my favorite fighters to watch. He is, probably not at a championship level anymore in the middleweight division, but he was and maybe is the greatest of all time in UFC. He's now 41 years old, going on 42 in just a few months. But he's still the greatest MMA fighter that I think I've ever watched. And he is fighting again, and that is Destination TV. And we'll have full coverage of that coming up Saturday night. Michael Hisko will be doing live coverage on Saturday night. We'll have fight previews, full card, prelims through the main event coming up on MMAtorch.com this weekend. Here's some more information on our sister brand, our sister website, MMA Torch.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, we're back, and we've got a new sponsor on the program today to talk about. Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating consumer-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep service was developed in-house, has a sleek design, and is delivered in a small, how did they do that, size box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. An in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. It combines supportive memory foam for a sleep service that's got just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, it's breathable. Its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature through the night. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers, get this, free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up. They refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. The Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines supportive memory foam to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars out of 5, it's quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. Free shipping and returns to US and Canada. Try it for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Designed, developed, and assembled in the USA. Where do you go to get a special deal? By listening to this show, we have a special offer for you. And all you have to do is go to casper.com/PWTorch and enter promo code PWTorch. And you'll get $50 off any mattress purchased from their website. That's casper.com/PWTorch and use the coupon code PWTorch to take $50 off. So check it out. It's a great website. I visited it in preparation for learning about the product. It's a really fun website. It's very well designed. You can learn a lot. You can see the images of how they build the mattress, the material that they use, the way that it just looks great, and the story of how it was engineered and how they came about coming up with the materials that they did and why they chose them is a fascinating story. And if you're in the market for a good mattress, and who isn't, especially if you're having any sleeping trouble at all, or just want a better night's sleep, or it's time to refresh that mattress. Casper is an exciting product. And as they say, 4.8 stars out of 5. It's hard to argue with that. And if you're not sure, it's zero risk. They'll deliver it free and take it away for free within 100 days. Go check out the $50 discount at casper.com/PWTorch with coupon code PWTorch. All right, we're back and ready to take more calls about tonight's episode of SmackDown. So let's get rolling and let's talk more about the show. Final episode before Elimination Chamber this Sunday night. And of course, we'll have live coverage at pwtorch.com. I hope also that you are checking out my live reports on Raw and SmackDown on Monday nights and Tuesday nights. Follow along with my detailed reports as you're watching the show. Find out what I'm thinking of the show with a detailed rundown on what's happening. And if you miss some of the show because you're channel flipping or you're late arriving and want to know what's worth going back and watching, you can also rely on my reports at pwtorch.com. All right, let's go to area code 414 next. 414, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Ray, go ahead, 414. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure can. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Yes. It's Naveen from Milwaukee, formerly from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. So I moved to Milwaukee. It's been a while.
Are you liking it?
It's been I love it. I went to school in Milwaukee, so it's like, you know, a city I'm familiar with.
Excellent.
So
you mind to be.
Yep. So there's a, yeah, this is a new number. So thought I would give you a call. So I took an issue with John Cena kicking out of RKO.
Sure.
So they could have done all those shenanigans at the end and not have Cena kick out of it. But like if it was done in a big match in WrestleMania, I could see the point, but Cena had to kick out of it. What are your thoughts on that? Did it add any value to it, or did it make RKO a little less special?
It didn't bother me because of the chaos of the moment, but I understand what you're saying. To me, I think what they're trying to sell at the end of the match is just absolute sheer chaos. And for Cena, I mean, because Cena blocked mm-hmm. the RKO at the end out of nowhere. He blocked the RKO and then hit the AA for the pinfall. And I mean, the idea that you can counter the RKO out of nowhere is something that should be special. It shouldn't be done a ton, but I think in the circumstances that they did it, it worked. The only part of the match that I liked, as opposed to just sort of watched and was like, okay, what was the final 2 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody was spot on with their timing and body language and expressions. I guess if I had a criticism, I'd say John Cena looked a little naive for when Randy tapped out as quickly as he did. And then Cena let go. You kind of hold that hold. If a ref goes down, or even if you don't know the ref goes down, make sure there's a referee there saying, yeah, the match is over. I thought that was a little, you know, kind of phony and I don't know. It made Cena look kind of bad. And I guess I'm getting critical of the final 2 minutes, but I'm not crazy about when a referee goes down that the wrestler in the hold taps out so quickly, so much quicker than they normally do. Because they just want to get right to the story they're telling, as opposed to the drama of will he or won't we. I guess I could nitpick on that a little bit, but I understand why they do it. I just think it's a little, it can take some of the reality out of it. If it seems like when the ref is down, the wrestlers act significantly different than they would if the ref was in it. It doesn't, the referee not staring at the hold doesn't make the hold hurt worse, I guess is my point.
Right. Exactly. SmackDown was playing in the background. I had house chores to do, so it was playing in the background. And it was the main event I was watching, and I saw that clean RKO one. He kicked out at 2. So that was pretty stupid. So I thought I would give you a call and discuss it. So I might call tomorrow because I want to bring up Goldberg and Brock Lesnar.
Save that for tomorrow. We've got John Arezzi with us on tomorrow's program, formerly of Pro Wrestling Spotlight from the late 80s through the mid 90s. He hosted the popular call-in show on pro wrestling. I was a guest many times, and we feature those as part of our VIP membership. So VIP members are very familiar with John because just about every Thursday night, a new version of Pro Wrestling Spotlight goes up, and John was kind enough to let us be the exclusive home of those shows. And so we convert them and edit them and do our best to sound optimize them. And usually they sound really good because it's radio studio recording on cassette and they've held up well over the decades. So, but John also follows wrestling today closely through the eyes of his nephew and his own veteran eyes as a ex wrestler, ex radio show host, ex event promoter. And, now, you know, mostly an observer and a longtime fan. And he's a great radio voice and comes on and joins me on a semi-regular basis. So I look forward to him being on the midweek flagship tomorrow at 1 Eastern. And Naveen, you'll be calling,
sounds
I hope.
Good.
Excellent.
Sounds good.
Thanks for letting me get a plug.
Can't wait.
Absolutely.
All right, take care.
You bet. That's right. Midweek flagship tomorrow with John Arezzi. By the way, if you missed it, Drew Galloway was my guest last Thursday on Interview Thursday. The week before that, Stone Cold Steve Austin was my guest. And if you missed that, you owe it to yourself to check that out. Really fascinating interview, as always, with Steve. The second hour of the interview is VIP exclusive, and I would say must listen, not just as try to sell a VIP membership, but it was, I think, some really amazing things Steve talked about in that second hour, some really interesting insights and a story about the Royal Rumble I don't think he had told before. I hadn't heard him tell it before. So, but the first hour, totally free and available at pwtorchlivecast.com. Let's go next to area code 425. Thanks for calling. Go ahead and state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, this is Josh, and I am actually still at the arena.
Awesome.
For SmackDown here in Seattle.
Oh, what are you watching? 205 Live, obviously. What's up?
Yeah, Tajiri just came out and spit his green mist. And actually, they announced the main event as Miz versus Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship after 205 Live. So I think that was maybe a way of retaining people for the audience, because I think people started to get up and leave once they started changing the ring ropes and everything. But good show. I'm telling you, Luke Harper, I think, got the second biggest pop of the night next to Cena.
When he turned on Bray, or in another circumstance?
When he was seen. I mean, when he came out, it was, I mean, everybody around, I mean, it was just, the arena exploded. I don't know how it's going to come across on TV. And then when he eventually, you know, went after Wyatt, the response was really good. But for me, that was encouraging, because I've always looked at Luke Harper as a guy who really, somebody I think the fans could get behind, because he's so good in the ring for his size. And so to see him get a, I don't know, I don't want to say a push, but for him to get a little segment like that where he comes out and kind of somewhat aligns with Cena, I thought was really great. I thought it was great to see him. But, I mean, it was deafening when he went after Wyatt. Now, I mean, that was really surprising, because, you know, he, up until this point, he's not really been utilized as a top player. But I think he is the kind of guy that the brand split is going to benefit. So it was definitely refreshing to see somebody like him, who I think has deserved the kind of reaction he's gotten, actually get that reaction. So it was definitely great. So
any other observations, from the, live perspective of the show, like Baron Corbin and AJ, how did the crowd, side when those two heels were going at it? I can kind of predict how, but go ahead and tell me.
It was actually very interesting. I am a diehard AJ Styles fan. I've been an AJ Styles fan through New Japan, TNA, and everything. But I would say, so I was sitting on the hard camera side, and I would say pretty much everybody around me was all in for Baron Corbin. Somebody had yelled, "Oh, look at that wolf on his shirt. He's like Napoleon Dynamite." That was the only somewhat disparaging thing I heard, but it was the reaction Corbin got was really great. Now, with that being said, we don't get wrestling a whole lot here in Seattle. So anytime we do, the responses are really good, but Corbin got a better reaction than I think he's gotten before. And he looked really strong coming out of the whole thing. So, people were actually pretty surprised and kind of happy, but all in all, good show. Tajiri just hit the ring and took out Brian Kendrick, and that got a huge ECW chant.
Wow. Still get those after all these years.
But lastly, before I let you go, because I know you got other callers, I have a feeling like maybe they announced, they said, "Don't go anywhere, Dean Ambrose and The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship." And then they started 205 Live, and I thought, well, maybe that's a strategy they have. You know, I haven't been to a live show since the brand split, but I'm assuming that was maybe a way for them to kind of say, okay, stick around, don't leave yet. You know, Dean Ambrose. So I just don't understand the logic of putting it on afterwards.
It's live.
Gotta
be live.
Yeah, it's live. It has to be live, because everybody's watching it live. It's put it on in the superstar slot that they used to have before Smack, or, you know, whatever, main event or whatever it was. But anyways, I just wanted to call in and give my observations, but it's been a pretty lively crowd. And I'd say 80% of the people have stuck around for 205 Live. So that shows you how starved we are for wrestling here in Seattle. So
two questions before you run, Josh. What was the crowd like at the peak? How full was the arena, and how does that compare to other events that you've been to over the years?
The arena at I did not see many empty seats whatsoever. Pretty full. I don't know if they announced it as a sold out on camera side. On hard camera side, usually there's seats around the camera that are empty. But at its peak, I would say it was probably, 95% full.
Okay.
I looked around, but yeah, no, definitely good. But again, we're starved for wrestling, so I think anytime they come. So, yeah, it's almost full. So
I don't want you to miss too much of Gallagher versus Noam Dar, because that's about to start. But final question for you, if you have time. The women's segment went on a long time. I haven't talked about it yet, but I thought the women did well in that segment. How do you think they did, and how did the crowd – was the crowd engaged? Did it test their patience? Were they reacting how
WWE wanted them to? You know, I think the reaction from the crowd, I think the reaction seemed to be a lot better for the Natalia and Nikki Bella one-on-one that they had, going at each other on the big screen. I don't know how it looked on TV, but the when the entrances were moderate, when Naomi hit, the place exploded. And I think that's partially because her entrance is so fun. Mickie James, she needs to just say what she has to say instead of, taking a break between each word. That was kind of slow, but it just dragged on too long. I don't know what the point of a double contract signing is. whatever. But everybody was chanting for a table spot, and that didn't happen. So, whatever.
That's true. We got through a contract signing without a broken table.
No, well, it was weird, and I looked at my friend, and I was like, well, that was different. No table spot. So, yeah, all in all, it was all right. But Naomi definitely got a huge pop when she came out. So.
Excellent. Well, you got Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander ready to face off with Gallagher and Noam Dar. So go check that out. If anything absolutely crazy happens when we're still on the air, call us. But otherwise, appreciate it, and hopefully you'll call in again when you're not actually at SmackDown or Raw.
Yeah, thanks, Wade. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Josh. Good to hear from you.
All right. Bye.
Josh let me know he was calling earlier, and you can do that too if you ever attend a Raw or SmackDown event and want to be part of the post show here on the live cast that comes on right after Raw and SmackDown that I host. We always like to hear from people in the building. It's kind of cool. Or people on their way from the building. If it's Raw, usually we talk to people in their car. And if it's SmackDown, usually we talk to people who are still at the building watching 205 Live. So, just drop me an email ahead of time and let me know that you plan to call in and what that phone number is so that I can get to you early in the show and not leave you waiting in line too long. Our email address here at the livecast is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That's pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. All right, let's go to our bottom of the hour break. And then when we come back, it is smooth sailing, clear sailing for more calls through the end of the program. We're talking SmackDown. But first, some word on our main website, pwtorch.com, that I mentioned earlier, which has my live reports on Raw and SmackDown. Earlier today, I put up my analysis of the Raw ratings from last night. You can read about not only what the rating was or the viewership number was, but I went into detail. I've got the spreadsheet and the charts and the year ago numbers, and I kind of put it in perspective. How does this rating compare to the 10-week rolling average? How does it compare to the seasonal average in fall? And then I do a first versus third hour comparison and track the audience drop off from the first hour compared to the third hour. And that tends to indicate a number of things that I analyze in my weekly Raw report on pwtorch.com. Plus I compare it to year ago Raw ratings. We do the same thing for SmackDown on the site. So you can check that out. Other good content on the site today. We got some updates on CM Punk. He talked about his MMA fighting status. Somebody very specific has stepped up with a logical argument for why he should fight CM Punk. That story at pwtorch.com right now. Also, we got results from Raw in Broomfield, Connecticut, and also a live event Raw, and also Winnipeg, Manitoba, the SmackDown house show on Sunday. So we got some weekend results. As always, we'd love to get results of every show that WWE runs and every live show period from all the promotions. And you can help out by emailing a report to pwtorch@gmail.com. So our live cast address that I gave earlier is for letting us know you're calling or a question for the show, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. And pwtorch@gmail.com is the main email for sending us news tips and also results of shows that you attend. We also have over-the-top wrestling results from Belfast, Northern Ireland on Sunday with Pete Dunne, Mark Andrews, Matt Riddle, Tyler Bate, Mark Haskins, Eddie Kingston, and more. We've also got the five-count column, five lessons that WWE can learn from the Royal Rumble. Matt Seabridge does a great and thorough job, really well-written, really, I mean, it's a long-form article, really delving into lessons that he thinks WWE can take from the Royal Rumble. He does a five-count column every week, and you can check out the latest one on pwtorch.com right now. Also, Sean Radican's unboxing of the 2016 Lucha Loot, and we've got our hits and misses columns on Raw, SmackDown, Impact, and ROH. And every Monday afternoon and Tuesday afternoon, we've got our Raw Primer and SmackDown Primer. I can't spell his name, and now I can't say his name. Joey Galizia, there we go, does his Raw Primer and SmackDown Primer with a little snark and a little zest. And you can check that out every Monday and Tuesday also. And speaking of snark, we have our Monday night Reigns-O-Meter. We are in week five now of tracking whether Roman Reigns was able to beat the odds and come out on top. And we've got our assessment of that. That went up earlier today, in fact, on pwtorch.com. Was this a winning week for Roman Reigns or not? Well, if you watched Raw, you know the answer to that. But you can go visit pwtorch.com and get some details on how Roman Reigns is doing these days. Well, every Monday, you know, you just cross your fingers and you hope that things work out okay for him. And Tom Colahue did a nice job with that again. And Digital Dabblings, if you're into the Topps digital trading card kind of side, I've learned a lot about it, actually. Didn't know a lot about it from William Notling. And he's a new PW Torch specialist and writing about in his column today, the third column on this is the trading ABCs, some basics on how to post your top WWE slam cards for trade. It's a pretty cool column, and he does a really nice job explaining it. So anyways, I mean, that's kind of an overview. We got our pay-per-view look back at the 2008 No Way Out pay-per-view. Our network pick of the week is a review of the first episode and the first season, actually, of Tough Enough with Taz and Al Snow. He managed to review it and keep it spoiler free. So all kinds of stuff on pwtorch.com over the, that's just from the last 2-3 days other than, that really is. That's all from the last 2-3 days. So if you're not visiting pwtorch.com, I certainly encourage you to do so. We put a lot of work into that every single day. We've got a great team of writers, new columnists, new contributors, new specialists, great correspondents, not to mention just news updates throughout the week. So check it out. That's pwtorch.com. Here is some more word on that. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we are back. Follow me on Twitter at @TheWadeKeller. I put up a picture of a much younger and different looking Baron Corbin from his NFL days and some comments going on about that. Follow me on Twitter at @TheWadeKeller and follow our brand at PWTorch and our sister brand at MMA Torch. Let's go to Brandon from Colorado. Up next, Brandon, thanks for holding. Thanks for your patience. What have you got for me today?
Yeah, Wade, so just a couple things. First off, the beginning of the show was I wish WWE would build more storylines like they have with The Miz and Daniel Bryan, even though Daniel Bryan can't wrestle at that. You know, the heat on The Miz is, when it comes to that storyline, I think is as good as it gets. I mean, if Daniel Bryan could wrestle, that would definitely be a WrestleMania match right there, just because of Daniel's face status and the heat The Miz can generate. Outside of that, you just talked to the previous caller about the women, and I just want to comment as somebody who's only 24, you know, I grew up watching Mickey, and so she had her run and was great when she was here the first time, and I hope that they can build off the heat that she has with Becky right now and really turn Becky into the star that she can possibly be. But with that being said, I kind of want to get your thoughts on Naomi. I mean, I really think Naomi can be a great babyface and, attract a lot of attention if booked the right way. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, let me ask you before I do, what did you think of the segment? Josh, who called earlier, wasn't crazy about it, said maybe the live crowd wasn't engaged. Did you think the four did a good job carrying that much TV time, hyping up two matches at once?
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with him. I thought it was very entertaining. Now I wasn't there, so that's, not the same level as he was, but I was engaged on my TV screen, and I thought that both heels and both baby faces made me want to watch this weekend on Sunday. So,
yeah, that's I'm with you on that one. I like the segment more than Josh did too. Mickie James has an affected way of speaking. I thought she was better with it this week. I like that she's changing the cadence and pausing between some of her words to get her point across. I think it's actually kind of heelish because it kind of is irritating in testing your patience. And it's like, she just thinks she's got that she's captivating and has your attention and can take her time with her speaking. So, but I thought she pulled it off better this week than last week. Also, I thought it was a little glitchy last week, and I thought she was smoother this week. But your question for me, I threw it back at you. I think Naomi has real potential. I want to see what she does on Sunday. I think it's a big match for her. And I thought she was direct and credible and confident. And I like that she said, she gave her fans a reason to believe that she'll win on Sunday, because it, as opposed to, well, it probably won't happen this time, Alexa's getting a big push because of the WrestleMania storyline. She's in her hometown of Orlando. That's a story that WWE likes. They can tell that story, have Naomi go to the media as a, it's Black History Month. If she wins the title in Black History Month, which WWE's making a big deal out of, and then she goes into WrestleMania representing the SmackDown Women's Division, I think they like that story. And I don't think Alexa Bliss is untouchable. So Naomi laid it out there well with confidence and said, hey, I've already beat you twice. I thought Bliss was really good when she just acted like, oh, yeah, Naomi, you're here. And then acted like it wasn't even really worth even jabbering with her much. She just signed the contract. She's like, I'll beat you on Sunday. I don't even have to waste time, talking about you and why I'm going to beat you. It's just a foregone conclusion. I thought Bliss was really good there. And Naomi's high round kick, that high round kick over the table that hit Bliss on the head was fast. It looked hard. Mickie James's reaction I thought was good. It could have been cartoonish. I thought she stopped short of that and reacted like somebody would if, she reacted like, somebody just got slam dunked on, in a game, like in an all-star NBA game. Mickie kind of had that look of, oh man. I like this. All in all, I like the segment. I thought it built up both matches nicely, and I think Naomi has a chance to win, and I think she certainly, I think Sunday is going to be a test of how good she can be with a title on the line in a spotlight match. It's, I think, the biggest match of her career.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and I hope they actually pull the trigger and put it on her, just, because watching the last few years, it seems like she has done everything they've asked of her. And I feel like it's, now it's organically time for her to be the babyface, and it's time for her to have a title run, which I missed a few years ago, so I may be wrong in this, but I don't know if she's had a long title run at this point. So I would just hope to see one at this point.
Brandon, appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you for taking it.
Absolutely. Call again. All right. This is the PW Torch Livecast. If you're joining us midstream, it's the post-SmackDown episode. I'm Wade Keller. I'll be joined tomorrow by John Arezzi at 1 Eastern for our midday show. So if you can't join us in the evenings, but you can join us live during the day, we've got different time slots staggered at different times throughout the week. Right after Raw, right after SmackDown, I host on Mondays and Tuesdays, Wednesday at 1 Eastern. Thursdays, 1 Eastern is Interview Thursday. Thursday night, as soon as Impact goes off the air, mark this down. Set a reminder on your phone right now for the time right after Impact ends in your time zone. You can join Andrew Socek and Mike McMahon for their newest addition to the livecast lineup, the post-Impact episode of the PW Torch livecast. They'll review the show, talk about TNA in the big picture, talk about TNA history, and throw in some trivia questions too. And they're looking for caller support. And you can also email pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com if you can't call in live but have a suggested topic for them on their program. Email pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com ahead of time. But even better, call the show live tomorrow night. As soon as Impact goes off the air, they are on the air. And then Friday, Prime Times with Bruce Mitchell and his various co-hosts, which has been Rich Fan lately. Check that out starting at 7 Eastern. So a busy lineup. And then as noted by Pat McNeil, who was my co-host yesterday, the PW Torch livecast Sunday night will be live after Elimination Chamber with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, both Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter columnists. Greg Parks' newsletter column this week looks at wrestlers who have left WWE and then been brought back, and has it worked out for them? A really cool topic in light of Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno, being brought back to NXT. And Greg looks at other instances of that in WWE history. Bruce Mitchell, in this week's Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, looks at hidden gems, some new additions to WWE Network. He just sent that column in before the show went off the air. Or before SmackDown went out there, so I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But that'll be in this week's Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, which is packed with exclusive columns, news, and features. That also comes with a VIP membership. Full information on VIP membership over, by the way, at pwtorch.com/govip. All right, back to the phone lines, and let's go to Sean in Murfreesboro. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Wade. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing real well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, no, the whole show I thought was really good. SmackDown's been just so good, very consistent. But I wanted to first see what you thought about just the Fatal 4-Way in general. Like, I thought the match was really good. I did like that Baron won. I was a little surprised, I guess, he pinned AJ, you know, at the beginning, but I thought it was good. Like, it's still, you know, I'm like, you know, Baron's getting, you know, really pushed, and I like that fact. I mean, he looked a lot better. But I was a little surprised that he did pin AJ, so I was wondering what you thought, kind of what you're feeling just for the whole Elimination Chamber match. But the second thing is, I'm with you guys on the women's segment. I think I'm always kind of like a women's sports person in general, where I feel like they kind of get generally underappreciated. So I feel like now that they're getting a great push, like, I really love it. And I felt like the segment was really good. Like you said, I thought Mickey was great. I mean, I love that she's back in WWE. I love that she's, I kind of like this heel persona of her. Like, even though we know she hasn't watched for the last 7 years and didn't really know what's going on the last 7 years, but she's like really making you feel like, I've been looking and watching these women try to take my spotlight, and I want it back, you know, type thing. And I really liked it. But I wanted you to say who do you feel is going to win those two matches? Cause I'm with you guys on Naomi too. Like, I really would like to see her win, cause I feel like she has done so many good things and has tried to, and is a great athlete and has a lot of good movesets. But I love what Alexa is doing as well. So I'm kind of curious just what you think is going to happen in those two matches, especially Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I was just assuming Alexa Bliss would win until Naomi cut a nice promo and Alexa really discounted her. I think if you're going to lose, if you're a heel and you're going to win, it's almost considered kind of rude to dismiss your opponent ahead of time in the way that Alexa Bliss did. So, I mean, I'm kind of decoding wrestling booking psychology, and it's not 100% right. You know, how promoters aren't always predictable in this way, but my inclination, if I'm looking to decode what they did, is Naomi's winning. Black History Month, her hometown, WrestleMania is in her hometown. Alexa Bliss or Mickie James could then challenge her for the championship. That can work. Also, I could see Naomi winning, but they do a fatal four-way with those four at Mania, and that might explain why they had them all in the ring together, is to tease that a little bit. And maybe there's a little dissension with Mickey and Alexa. I think it'd be a little premature to do it, but they might go there anyway. And I doubt Becky and Naomi would overtly have tension with each other. I think they're the two, they're two types of babyface characters who would just be like, may the best person win. You know, let's go out, let's fight our hearts out. If you win, I'll be happy for you. If I win, I hope you'll be happy for me. And I think they can do that without the predictable, you know, oh, they accidentally bumped into each other. They never look at the replay. They never talk to a friend who says, oh, it was an accident, and one of them resents the other. I think that's lazy, lame booking. And I hope they don't do that. But so I can see that. As for the outcome of Mickey Becky, I kind of think that Mickey needs to win. I mean, she can cheat to win, but coming back, I think you don't want to define her down quickly as possibly a has-been. I think you want to have her come out and look really impressive, not just by cheating, although ultimately maybe win by cheating, but look really good. Look like she can go and keep up with Becky and have a good match. And I mean, you don't want her to be so good that she wins over the fans and they start cheering her. So you build in some heelish spots in it. But I think you want Mickey to look good and look like she still has it. And that also can then build some tension for eventually Mickey and Alexa Bliss way down the line, because you want to build to that match. So you got to establish early on that Mickey isn't in this for in this just to prove that she can still hang with the young generation. She's in it to reign on top again. And so I think the story you want to tell on Sunday is she's that good. And I think having her win is kind of vital. Well, vital, maybe overstating it, but helpful at this stage of her return.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. You know, like, I'm kind of okay if they do two four-ways, like a Raw four-way women and a SmackDown four-way women. You know, if they want to go there, because you know, it does get them all in WrestleMania. They all have a spot, you know, and they can all do their stuff, and most of them can get themselves, you know, over in a match like that, which is good. You know, no matter who wins, like, everybody kind of looks pretty good, and it can build the farther storylines. Which, so I do kind of like that too. You know, if that's the way they're going to go, but yeah, but no, like, I mean, but did you like the Fatal Four Way? Like, I thought it was a good match. I mean, I thought
everybody did.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good match. I liked the setup. I really liked the first half hour of the show. You know, AJ Styles tried to get the crowd to boo him when they were chanting his name. You know, he told them to shut up. I liked that, you know, we suddenly live in a world where facts don't matter. I just was thinking hashtag alternative facts, WWE or something like that. You get started there and people can have fun with that. I liked, he said, you know, things are so weird. Facts don't matter. Suddenly Miz has a brain. Corbin thinks he's going to be champion. I mean, he had some good lines and they kind of rolled off his tongue, I think, naturally. And I like when a heel doesn't like seem to enjoy the fans chanting his name. I think he could go even further in that regard, but I think he understands he's probably going to be a babyface relatively soon. So he might even be at this point hedging how much real heel he wants to get. I think if AJ thought he was going to be heel for the next 2 or 3 years, he'd go even harder on the crowd like that. So, but anyway, I liked the opening segment. I thought Daniel Bryan, standing there in Seattle, he looked a little emotional talking about the last time he stood in the ring in that arena and what he had to say. But he did what you'd expect Daniel Bryan to do, which is talk about what he's grateful for. And that led to, you know, the parade of wrestlers coming out. But in terms of hyping the Elimination Chamber, I think the Fatal Four-Way was a good way to do it. They decided to kind of preserve and build up Ambrose and Miz, and Corbin got a big win, and you know, for what he was able to do in the Royal Rumble and then what he was able to do in pitting Styles, I mean, clearly he's getting a big push in 2017. He was protected and built up as a potential future main eventer in 2016. He's getting that real push now in 2017, and it'll be interesting to see if he lives up to it in the singles matches that he has. I think he's coming along.
Yeah, the show, I did a great job of hyping the pay-per-view, so I'm excited about Sunday to see what's going to happen.
Absolutely. Yep, I totally agree with you.
Thanks for having me, Wade. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Appreciate you calling. All right, let's go to Patrick from New Jersey. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Wade. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. What have you got for me?
Okay, a couple of points about tonight's show. I think I figured out a way where the WWE could get out of the Elimination Chamber. Do you remember the Scramble of 2008 where they had Orton punt Punk in the head and take him out of the match so he didn't even get to defend his title?
Yeah.
I'm normally not a fan of them doing that at shows, but I think that would be something they may try to look into doing to protect Cena while having a new champion come out of the event, where Cena leaves protected, leaving that type of event, because it could open a couple of possibilities for them. Or even if they just do it as some type of angle to sell up, to set him up for losing in the match. But what I was going to say to you is, first of all, I can't get over all the Naomi calls you're getting tonight. No, I'm being serious. Like, she deserves it. And that's the point I'm going to make to you right now. First of all, side note with Alexa Bliss, I know you're probably going to laugh when I say this, but if you wanted to say a male version of Alexa Bliss, or what she's a female version of, I kid you not, I think Chael Sonnen, she just talks her way into an angle, talks her way into heat. She just does it, whether you give her a championship or not. She can just talk away where you want to watch her just go in the ring, because she delivers just on the mic each and every time. So she's definitely benefited by this whole brand split, so to speak. But what I was going to say to you is, going back to the Naomi point, and it's also going to tie into the Miz for a second with you, is if the WWE really wanted to send a message to the locker room, here's a perfect example. We talked about this 2 or 3 weeks ago about Dolph Ziggler and stuff like that, with characters who reinvent themselves or who evolve. You look at what Naomi's done with the wardrobe, with the entrance, even with the repertoire in the ring, where it used to just be the Pele kicks, and now she does even more. And then you look at what the Miz has done, both on the mic and stuff. If the WWE had decided to have the Miz walk out of Elimination Chamber with championship, I know it's not really considered, but if they had done that, and they had set up, let's say, a three-way at WrestleMania with the Miz going in with the Heat, that would send such a message to the locker room, especially to all the fans who think the WWE is just grooming Roman Reigns and everyone's hand appointed. You'd have two different people, both sides of the locker room, you know, men and women, who literally show that, like, if you actually put in the work and the time, you can rise, you know, and earn your spot back up, even when you're down at, like, opening match status, which is basically what the Miz did, and actually, for that matter, Naomi did too. I mean, I want to hear your thoughts on that for a second, if you don't mind.
No, I mean, it would send that message. I don't think WWE is in the message sending business to the locker room at the expense of what they think the best WrestleMania lineup is. But if they did that because they believed it was the best WrestleMania lineup, it would send a real message. I mean, Naomi was just kind of lost pre-roster split, and The Miz was, I mean, go back and listen to a show a couple years ago that I hosted. I was hard on him. I thought he was done, and or at least things were bleak, and his character was just a mess and not fun to watch as a heel or a face. Almost felt like a lost cause. He reinvented himself, subtracted the things that weren't working, added a lot of stuff that started to work. And I mean, he has absolutely turned it around, and it's to the point where, I mean, the fact that people are saying, Cena and Miz might have a match at WrestleMania, it might be a mixed tag with the women, and it's not like this outrageous thing of, oh my God, what's, you know, Cena's got to be thinking, why are they burying me? Instead, it feels like maybe a possibly worthwhile match coming out of the chamber. That says something about Miz's stock being rebuilt. So, yeah, I mean, I like it. I like the idea that somebody who seems like their future is bleak and it can make a comeback. You know, there is hope for Dolph Ziggler yet.
Yeah, now, last year, just so you know, I had gone to the Garden for the, you know, the famous John Cena return last year when it was against Del Rio. And I'd gone to the following Garden show, and Miz was actually the opening match for both. He was against, at the time, Neville and Ziggler. And when I saw the reaction he was getting in the opening match, which obviously you get the most heat for, you know, it's probably the easiest one to get the emotion for to start the show.
Yeah.
I said, this guy has actually come a long way. And this was before the WrestleMania Maurice reunion, but I could see then, I'm like, he's getting over with the crowd by doing the simple things, like you say, he doesn't get injured, but he knows how to, you know, he doesn't have to do a 360 flip off the top rope to get a reaction. He'll do the three-time tease to the top like the next woman used to do, Sasha and stuff. He knows the psychology. So my point with that anyway is, either way, if they do program him with Cena one way or another, it is a validation to him, like you're saying, whether it's in the championship match or not. Just anyone who's put opposite Cena at a WrestleMania, it is an honor regardless, you know. But my other point I just want to make to you really quickly was something coming off the Royal Rumble which shocked me. You know how everyone said there was no surprise celebrity guests or, you know, just surprise appearances? I would have put a dime to the dollar that they would have somehow had Shaq there just to set up the Shaq show match at WrestleMania. Even though it was announced 12 months ago or whatever, the WWE never pays attention to that part. I was shocked that they didn't do something at that match, because it would have seemed like so likely, because they had done the Andre Battle Royal before that, just as something to tease the match. And I don't know your thoughts on that, but that was something that I was just kind of surprised they didn't even attempt, because it seemed like such a simple way to develop the angle or advance the angle and get some mainstream publicity around it.
And tell me what that last thing is that you're referencing. What mainstream?
Oh, with the Royal Rumble, like with the Royal Rumble, and like they're saying Shaq's going to be at WrestleMania. I mean, it's been said for 12 months now. Shaq and show, yes. I'm sorry. Sorry, I didn't clarify that. My point is, they missed the opportunity there where they'd have a large audience and people coming out of that show saying, oh, wow, okay, just to refresh people, because 12 months later, it could be forgotten, but that's usually where they ran the angles, like LT, Bam Bam, so to speak, because I was at that WrestleMania, where they set it up at the Royal Rumble. That would have seemed like the perfect time to set up that type of angle, so to speak.
My thinking is WWE might have thought, given the lineup that they're looking at for Mania and where Big Show and Shaq is going to fall, it's not their money match. It's a novelty match. LT was their money match. Shaq and Big Show's kind of a snicker wink, sports entertainment-y, celebrity, you know, sidebar match. I don't think they would have wanted to distract from the big names and the big angles that they felt were the money matches by having Shaq do something at the Rumble. I think they would think, let's save this for March, and we don't need a lot to rev it up. I'm just trying to figure out why, you know, what their rationale might have been for approaching it that way.
Well, the only rationale I'll give you right now, because this is the point, is because he was quote-unquote that homegrown Orlando Magic superstar, and they're going to be there, it would have been an easy way to hike the ticket sales leading in. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, that would have drawn the spotlight. Oh, Shaq's going to wrestle in WrestleMania. Orlando, oh, that's where Shaq. You know, that's where I was looking at it, because as a push for the tickets, because obviously there's a connection there, is what I'm trying to say. But just switching it really quick, because here was a nice alternative. If they really wanted to shock people, and I think you would love this idea, I doubt they're going to do it. Because the Elimination Chamber, like I said, they've been known to have, like, last-minute replacements. I think Ed was one year, among other things. Imagine if they actually shocked people and Shinsuke came out of the Elimination Chamber. That would change the whole complexion of WrestleMania.
Yes, it would. I
in a good way, in a good way, in a good way.
In a good way.
Not gonna happen.
I'm hesitant to add more to the mix of WrestleMania, because I think that they could end up with too much happening and Shinsuke would end up getting lost in the shuffle a little bit. Obviously, if there's too many, if there's another injury and it changes things up, they might have to, do things a little bit more, change things up more and rush somebody into the mix. But I mean, with Samoa Joe added, I don't know that you want to add Shinsuke pre-WrestleMania. It would certainly shake things up. But I think that they've got a strong depth chart right now with the talent that's been on the main roster. I want Shinsuke saved as a post-WrestleMania injection of a new star, new energy, with Lesnar and Goldberg and Cena and Nikki Bella, go away. And Undertaker, aren't part of the mix anymore. I want them to have a card that they can play. So I'm pretty consistent. And unless Shinsuke won the Rumble, not having him just be someone in the mix, even if he, you know, the chamber might seem like a big platform for him, but I think it was just kind of muddy the water.
Winning the chamber. I meant winning the chamber, like as a shock where he'd actually walk into WrestleMania with the title. That's what I'm saying. If you do that type of debut with him, he's not getting lost in the mix. That was the point. Well, not just put him in the chamber, but if he actually was a surprise and walked out with it, and they said, well, look, Joe's on Raw, he's on SmackDown, so to speak. They're separate, but that's the type of debut they gave him. That's what I'm trying to say. Not lost in the mix, actually walking out with the championship. That was the point.
Yeah, when you're framing it as, by definition, I'm saying he won't get lost in the mix because he's going to win the chamber and then go on to face, presumably, Randy Orton as a heel. I like that better than Bray against Randy on a short-term basis. There's still part of me, I got to say, Patrick, that just sort of wants Shinsuke to have the spotlight to himself when the dust clears after Mania. But I get what you're saying. I don't think it's a bad option. It's not that different than him winning the Rumble. It's a little bit different, but not all that much different. I mean, Shinsuke coming out number 30 and winning the Rumble, would have been blown the roof off the place, I think. But him coming out as some sort of replacement for an injured John Cena or something like that, and they have an interim championship, so to speak. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things they could do. I just don't think we're going to see it, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And just for anybody, like I said, tomorrow you have Arezzi on, and you always hear me call up about that. If they don't need another reason to get VIP torch from you, just listen to the interview tomorrow with you and Arezzi, and that's going to sell them on why they should be a VIP member. Because I got the trial membership. I extended it to the regular membership because it's
well, thank
that
you.
Good.
I appreciate it. That's why we do it. You know, we hope to show you it's worth our regular monthly rate by giving you a discount to get in the door. Because there's a lot of things people can spend their money on, and we want to have people sample what we do. And fortunately, for close to 30 years, people have been paying for what we do and make it possible for us to do what we do. And it's people like you that make it possible, literally. So thank
you, Patrick. Listen, you have a good night. I'll hear you guys tomorrow at 1:00. So thank you very much for the time.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you tomorrow then.
All right, bye-bye.
Excellent. All right. So that's Patrick from New Jersey. Let's go to 623. 623, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Ray. This is Brian from Phoenix calling.
Oh, hey, Brian from Phoenix. Thanks for calling. What do you got for me?
Well, to speak of that, and I'll keep this very brief, is that today, February the 7th of 2017, is my 26-year anniversary of being a PW Torch VIP subscriber.
What was the exact date again?
It was February the 7th of 1991 is when I first signed up.
Wow. Awesome. Well, you know, I talk about who makes it possible for us to do what we do. And you are at the top of that list, Brian. So thank you very much for your support all these years. That's amazing. You've been through a lot of technological evolution with what we do over the years.
And speaking of that, Wade, I'm on the website right now, and I actually pulled up, and I actually have it saved on my iPad, my first torch that I got in the mail. It's, again, it's dated February the 7th of 1991. It's issue 107. And it's the, again, you can, you know, once you're a VIP member, you can pull down, I think you have almost all of them, all the torches on the website for download right away when you sign up. But again, the biggest, the news breaking that you broke was WrestleMania location change. We're talking about WrestleMania 7 going from the LA Coliseum going to the LA Sports Arena. So that was the big news of that week.
Wow. And that puts a date on it, or puts it in perspective when that was. Crazy time with that Hogan Slaughter angle in the Sheik.
Yes, it was. So I'm gonna, again, I just want to jump in and say that, Wade, and I appreciate all the work that you do, and I've never looked back and for my 26 years, and it's always money well spent, and I'll have it in my will that I will always be a lifetime member, so I'm always looking forward to that as well.
Well, that's great. So are you vowing to support us after death?
So Bowie will continue to see a check come from me, I guess, once a year. In
there
perpetuity.
We go. Sounds good. I'll let him know. That is awesome.
So again, that was all I'm going to do is jump on and say that. But look, really quick, while I have, and Naomi's been a topic of discussion. First of all, in Phoenix, SmackDown just came on, so of course I didn't see it. By the way, I will be at Elimination Chamber this Sunday, and I'll send in a report, and I'll actually call Pat and Greg. I'll call in from the arena. But speaking of Naomi, the one thing that a couple of callers mentioned is that we forgot that she actually was getting a push up until February of 2014, and that's when Oksana, remember, broke her orbital bone in her face, and that kind of just pretty much derailed Naomi since then.
Oh,
so she was
yeah.
having kind of a push, and then that's when, and then that happened. And we
yep.
talked about that. Actually, we talked about it on the East Coast cast, and that's, of course, a member of the Torch family, and that comes on tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern.
Absolutely.
So, again,
EastCoastCast.com. Mm-hmm. EastCoastCast.com.
And then lastly, to stick with the women, Wade, is I can almost see probably three women's matches at WrestleMania. So you have something with the Raw women's title, the SmackDown women's title, and they'll probably have like a mixed or inter Raw SmackDown 10 women's match probably will happen. So that's my what I think will happen at WrestleMania for the women's three matches.
I think that's a good bet. I mean, it's going to be a long show, and there's a lot of people deserving to be on it. But this year, more women deserve to be on WrestleMania than at any WrestleMania I can remember.
Yeah, and speaking of long shows, we just, you know, I heard you talk about, of course, we all talk about the Super Bowl and about how, you know, Fox's coverage of the Super Bowl started, you know, what, at 9 a.m. in the morning, the game that starts at like 6:30 Eastern time. So, you know, you talk about, you know, being an all-day thing. You know, the Super Bowl's all-day thing, too. So, again, yeah. Wade, appreciate it. And, again, I'm now more than halfway to my Diamond anniversary of being a
subscriber.
And I can highly recommend it. So anybody out there who's even thinking about it, you should just really look into joining the Torch family.
Brian, thank you so much. I'm glad that I was hosting on the day of your anniversary here, and I continue to thank you for your not only supporting us, but expressing it and endorsing it.
Have a really good night.
Yep, you too. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian, you bet. Brian from Phoenix. I'm rapidly running out of time here. I'm not going to get to everybody on hold, so I apologize ahead of time for that. Let's go next, though, to Elijah in Memphis, Tennessee. Go ahead, Elijah. Thanks for calling.
What's up, Wade? Okay, real quick, just two questions. The Cena Orton match, do you think that that was put out there so early just as a feeler by WWE? And the whole thing with Luke Harper, too, man, I know that Orton and Bray isn't all that exciting, but if they could somehow kind of bring a tangent between Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt, kind of like how they kind of failed with Miz and Sandow back when, where you got the follower, you know, he's behind Bray, but then he rises up against him and could pay off with a good build. I think that could be a very interesting match.
Imagine where they would be. Imagine a different place Damian Sandow might be right now had Damian actually, with a similar timing to Luke Harper, had actually turned on Miz and gotten that moment, because they played it out too long with Damian Sandow, and I think the fans lost, you know, that moment came, and then it came, and then it didn't happen, and then the next week it didn't happen, the next week it didn't happen, and then 6 weeks later it still hadn't happened, and I think people just ended up, the moment passed, and they felt like Damian Sandow was a sucker. And so, yeah, the Luke Harper Bray thing has a chance to be good. I mean, I Luke Harper and Randy is a big test on Sunday for Luke. I don't think he failed or passed his with his promo early on SmackDown. He's got it. We've been talking about for a long time. He's good in the ring. He's a good big man. I've talked to Steve Austin about it. He agrees. I certainly trust his judgment on what he's seen of Luke. At some point, I want to see Luke and get a chance, and he's going to get it on Sunday, to have a memorable statement match that says he isn't just a follower or part of a tag team or part of a faction, that he can look like a lead babyface, kick-ass, kind of off-the-wall crazy, credible, threatening figure, and rise to that level. And I hope Randy gives him a chance to do that. Randy has a tendency to kind of go through the motions in a methodical way and does things crisp and smooth, but there's not a lot of genuine emotion. And he did that again with Cena tonight. So maybe this isn't the best opportunity for Luke, but of all of them that will come, but it's the first big one.
Right. And that's why I was asking about the whole Cena Orton thing. I just wonder if they put it out that early, maybe just to try to see how the fans would receive it, maybe just
oh,
as
sure.
a feeler to see.
Yeah,
if,
no, I,
just
I,
with all
no,
the
I don't
options
think so.
That they get.
No, I don't think so at all. I think they know they can't headline with Orton Cena. I think it's one of the most easy, obvious calls that anybody in higher up in WWE could make this season. They know they can't headline with that. That's just not an option. This was a match they put out there just because they wanted to draw a rating on SmackDown and do the angle that they did at the end. And that's all it was. There's not any chance that they even considered Orton against Cena again. They didn't lay any groundwork for it. It came out of nowhere. It's a match nobody wants to see. They know that. They pretended that wasn't the case for the last 7 days. And now we're going to go back to them not pretending, because nobody wants to see Cena and Orton, unfortunately. But it's true.
I don't want to see it. So, yeah.
And the 11, 12, 13 minutes of it, minus a commercial break, didn't make me want to see it anymore. I still don't want to see it. So, I mean, it was fine. It just, you know, it's just, there's nothing exciting about seeing those two face each other, unfortunately. Although I kind of feel that way about Orton in general, and I want him to step it up.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. Elijah, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Wade. Have a good night.
You bet. Absolutely. All right, Mike Socal, what have you got for me tonight?
Hey, Wade, just real quick, I know you're up against the time. I would just like to say that I think that the SmackDown hype that they did in 2 weeks for the Elimination Chamber was pretty fantastic. I know we're laying seeds before as well, but for us to come out of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view with this kind of a card that none of the matches feel like they were just thrown together, it's pretty great, in my opinion. Also touched on the AJ taking a lot of AJ fans. I wouldn't worry, you know, too much in. Maybe this is just me, but AJ Styles was just the face that ran the place for a very long time. He was held at a higher level than Barry Corbin. You know, I know they want to push Corbin, but he was held and protected at a higher level. Guess what? 35, 40, 30 minutes with Cena at the Royal Rumble. And I mean, did he take a loss because everyone thought it was going to be The Miz, probably, or Ambrose, or, I mean, was this like a shock kind of thing? Because I just don't understand the AJ Styles getting pinned. I mean, he was their champion for 5 or 6 months, right? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me booking-wise.
I think they were going for the shock factor. I mean, when it's not the WWE universe has its own rules. And one of the rules is when you lose one-on-one, it means a lot. When you lose in a 3 or 4 way match, it means quite a bit less. And so the feeling is because AJ was distracted, I mean, he went for the phenomenal forearm and then that got derailed. And then he went for it again a little bit later and he hit it. But you had all this chaos going on and Maurice pulled Miz out of the ring and that created a distraction. I mean, it wasn't like AJ was focused on Baron Corbin one-on-one and Corbin won. Corbin opportunistically hit the end of days when Style was preoccupied elsewhere. He looked good in the match. I think they were going a little bit for shock value to protect Miz a little bit more than probably typically they do. And I do think there's a good chance that this is something that's referenced by Baron Corbin at a later time. You know, that AJ, you had Cena's number. Well, guess what? I got your number. And he'll reference this and they'll use that. I could be wrong, but I wouldn't be worried if I'm an AJ fan that this is some sign that they don't have faith in him. In a kind of a weird way, I think this is a sign they have a lot of faith in him because they think he doesn't need to be protected. He's talented enough to absorb losing to a guy and pass on some credibility to Corbin at a time when they're really getting behind Corbin.
I mean, you're making a very compelling argument they are probably thinking. Him and Cena, they kicked out of everything. I mean, AJ lost to James Ellsworth multiple times, so I guess it doesn't matter. These sports entertainment finishes are ridiculous. But that's about all I got, Wade. Oh, also, I just finished watching 205 Live, and the Gallagher umbrella spot is absolutely ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Mike, I look forward to it. Your phone call's getting a little choppy, so I appreciate your call, and if anybody missed 205 Live, check out Gallagher's umbrella spot. Okay, I got it in there. Got a lot ahead of me still tonight. So I apologize to all our callers we didn't get to, but thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. Thank you for your patience. And call us tomorrow starting at 1 Eastern. John Arezzi, my co-host on the Midweek Flagship, and then interview Thursday at 1 Eastern, and then Thursday night after Impact, Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek, and then Friday night, 7 Eastern, Primetime Friday, Bruce Mitchell and co-host. Also, MMAtorch.com, full previews of UFC 208 coming up this weekend, along with live coverage of the pay-per-view on Saturday night. So if you're a casual or hardcore MMA fan, check out our coverage leading into the event, during the event, and the follow-up afterwards. A lot of interesting flashback features that I select throughout the week also that are pretty fun to look back on from 5 and 10 years ago to put some things in perspective the pace of change in the world of MMA. So a lot of good stuff over at MMAtorch.com. Check that out. And don't forget, we mentioned earlier that we have a new sponsor on the program, Casper, a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers. Go check it out on their website, casper.com/P PW Torch. It's cool. They even have a message for PW Torch Livecast listeners. When you go to that URL, that's casper.com/PW Torch. And that is your promo code to get $50 off any mattress purchase. It's a cool website. It's absolutely worth checking out. Learn more about the mattress. It might be your key to fixing any sleep problems you have or just enjoying sleeping more. So check it out, casper.com/PW Torch, and take $50 off a mattress risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't like it after you sleep on it for 100 days. That's a pretty good offer. That's a sign of confidence. 4.8 stars out of 5. Check it out, casper.com/PW Torch. And now, here's our closing words on our VIP membership. If you're not a VIP member, we encourage you to do so. I think you'll love it, especially headed into WrestleMania season. As we talked about, Pro Wrestling Spotlight, a big part of that VIP membership, retro radio shows from the early 90s. Here are details on that. As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday Morning Wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. Thanks again, everybody, for joining me. Great callers again. Great support for this program. We thank you for that. Go to pwtorchlivecast.com. It's mobile friendly, desktop, laptop friendly for another dose of the PW Torch Livecast. It goes further back than our RSS feed does if you subscribe to our show on iPhone, iTunes, Android devices. If you want to go back into our archives, we've got handy categories set up so you can go back to past pay-per-view call-in shows, pick a particular episode of Raw that you want to hear what we had to say about it. You can go back years. You can also go to the right sidebar and look at our latest interviews and pick up download or stream an interview that we did recently also. So you can kind of pick and choose what you're in the mood for at our slick homepage for this program, pwtorchlivecast.com. Drew Galloway, Steve Austin, our 2013 Mickey James interview. That was really good. We ran that as a best of edition 3 weeks ago. Former WWE creative team member Kevin Eck was on January 12th. Matt Morgan was on January 5th. And Mark Madden was on the December 29th episode. Catch up with former WCW Nitro commentator. He started off before that as a Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter columnist in the early 1990s. And he and I were back together for a one-on-one audio show. Been a long time, maybe decades, since we did audio together one-on-one. And you can check that out also, and much more. So that's pwtorchlivecast.com. Thanks again, everybody. Until next time, Wade Keller signing off. Lost Cast.
Thank you.